The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. Today's guest is the Small Business Commissioner, Liz Barclay. I'm really pleased now to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, Liz Barclay. Liz is the Small Business Commissioner. Liz, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, Paul.
It's a pleasure. Now, first of all, can we just start off by understanding the role of the Small Business Commissioner and the Small Business Commission? What is your remit?
The remit is quite narrow, to be honest. It's around about trying to get better payment practices so that small businesses, small suppliers get paid fairer, quicker, better by their bigger customers. And that can apply across, you know, things like overdue invoices, extended payment terms that have been offered to and accepted by small businesses, etc. So that is our biggest remit. But the point, one of the points that is slightly constraining is the fact that we have to be dealing with helping out a small business with fewer than 50 employees in a disagreement, dispute, whatever, with a bigger business that has more than 50 employees. And quite often we find that the people who are coming to us for help are small businesses that haven't been paid by other small businesses.
Yeah.
So there's a question there as to whether our remit might actually get extended in the next couple of years or so to cover that small to small dispute. At the moment, that's what we are mostly dealing with. And the other thing that we do is administer the prompt payment code. And the prompt payment code is the voluntary code that the bigger companies sign up to say, we commit to paying our small businesses or 95% of our small businesses within 30 days.
Fantastic. If you don't mind, can you just give us a little bit of background to Liz? What's your background, Liz? And when did you take on this massive challenge, it is a massive challenge.
It's a massive challenge. If I realised how massive it is, I might not take it on. But I took over the role on the 1st of July. So this is the beginning of week 10 of my tenure.
What a lovely time to take over.
Absolutely fantastic. Just as the supply chain's beginning to crumble in the run up to Christmas. But before that, I was a business and a consumers affairs journalist for 20 odd years. And so I've always been interested in and utterly fascinated by small businesses. Yeah. My parents ran a farm, so of course they had their own small business.
Yeah.
My great aunt had a convenience store. The sweets were the biggest attraction at that point, obviously, but but she was running a business. My grandfather was a builder. He had his own building firm. So I grew up in that small business environment.
Right.
And then I joined Citizens Advice when I started my career. And I was fascinated at that stage because I was working in East Anglia and a lot of small business owners were coming to Citizens Advice for help because their household bills were in debt and arrears because of the problems they were facing with their business. And I realized that household and business finances for the small businesses are just inextricably interlinked. And if one gets in trouble, so does the other.
Yeah.
So I became utterly fascinated. And each is a different story.
Yeah,
so the stories behind the small businesses are the things that just really made me passionate about small business.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is anecdotal. I haven't collected any data on this in any meaningful way. But I do think an awful lot of small businesses actually go out of business, not because they lack customers or anything like that. It's normally cash flow issues. And at the root of a lot of those cash flow issues, not all, but a lot of it is slow payment and debt. And as you kind of intimated, the problem of that is the domino effect, isn't it? I don't get paid. I don't pay you. You don't get paid. You don't pay the next person in the line, and on it goes.
I think that's why we are seeing more disputes between small businesses rather than between small and big.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of small businesses haven't been paid by a bigger company, and they think it will come. We know that they're going to be good for this money.
Yeah.
But if they're owed money by a small business like themselves, they're more worried that that small business might get in trouble and the money might not come through. But as you say, it is cash flow, and cash flow management is the most important thing that you can do. And it's very difficult if you're going to have to wait 3, 4, 5, even 6 months to get paid for work that you've done, to think that far ahead. Will I be able to survive? Will I have the cash? Will the cash flow be resilient enough to keep me afloat?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to mention a couple of things. I mean, this is my view on it as a small business owner, and some of the things I've seen, and I've been in business for myself 30 years, and I deal with both small businesses, governments, and those kind of institutions, and large businesses. But one of the things that I do see, especially amongst small businesses, and it is understandable, if you're running a small business, you're a plumber or a florist, or, you know, that's what you set up in business to do. You didn't set up in business to be a bookkeeper. So, you know, you get the syndrome of people that have got all their bookkeeping in a shoebox that they give to their accountant 2 days after the end of the financial year and all that kind of stuff.
But if we were on Zoom, Paul, I'd get you a shoebox and show you, because I've been freelance all my
career. Exactly, so you know. But of course, one of the issues is in managing cash flow and in managing what you do. And I'd like your thoughts on this, if you may. Within the Federation of Small Business, we did a survey a couple of years ago, and we estimated that something approaching 70% of small businesses weren't using digital technology effectively. You know, because there's loads of things out there that make all of this easier. And a lot of it's free. A lot of it's free to use. You know, there are accounting systems, invoicing systems, cash management systems. A lot of them are free. But there's this reluctance to engage digital, I guess, due to a lack of skill or a fear in the digital world.
Well, there's all of those things. You've mentioned all of those things. I think there's a whole raft of things. One, you go into business to do what you enjoy doing or to feed the family. Yeah. And you don't go in there to be a bookkeeper and do all the paperwork. And some people just are not good at that side of it. Yeah. It's not what they want to do. But there's also the time aspect. Yeah. Small businesses are so busy that the thing that gets put off is always the paperwork, the bits that you don't want to do. I mean, I've been guilty too. I've had people ring me up and say, if you don't send me an invoice this week, you're not going to get paid. You know, so I know that you do put the invoices off, and, you know, don't put them all off and do them all at the end of the month.
Sure.
You need to do them as you do the work in order to keep the cash flow coming in. Yeah. But there's the other thing about the insecurity of not knowing the questions to ask. So it's really difficult to say, I want to get an accountant, because I don't know what to ask them. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to take on this digital technology that I don't understand. Mm. I think the figures are a bit different now. I think about 52% of the small businesses that we're talking about, the smaller ones, are using digital now. So they're using things like cloud accounting software, and finding that really helpful, because it helps you to create the invoices digitally. And then it helps you, you know, you've got a pay now button, and it helps you to get the money in quicker.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest problems, I think, is the bit before that, that technology doesn't help with, and that is negotiating the contract and the payment terms. Yeah. Because, you know, I know from my experience, I celebrate, I've got a job coming in. Mm. It looks fantastic. It's going to pay X. It's going to pay the bills for, you know, however long. But I forget to ask when I'm going to get paid. Mm. And that's the most crucial thing. When am I going to get paid?
Yeah,
I could set the payment terms myself and say, as soon as I've delivered this work, I want to get my invoice into you. I need to know what the information is that you need on it. But can you tell me, will you pay me within 30 days? And can we get that in writing? But it's really hard to get the confidence to do that. And it sometimes small businesses feel that they can't negotiate, that they've got to accept the work, and then they sign up to payment terms like 120 days. Well, 120 days in my reckoning is 4 months. That's a long time. Absolutely. What would happen if you're, you know, as an employer, if you said to your employee, we're not paying you for 4 months? Well, you know, they'd be in arrears with their mortgage, they'd be evicted from their tenancy, their relationship would be in trouble because they'd be having arguments about money, and their mental health would really suffer. And lots of small businesses are finding that, you know, the stress of the worry about money is driving mental health problems. And we need the bigger businesses to understand how the smaller businesses operate and just pay quicker.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you've hit a number of nails on the head there. One of the things that I find, of course, is that businesses are scared. They get a customer and, you know, they go, wow, I've got XYZ Corporation as a customer. Blimey. My business might work with this. But then that customer dictates their payment terms, normally 60 days. And they go, oh, blimey, 60 days. Oh, okay, but there's nothing I can do about it. That's what they've said. I want this business.
But that's the point. It's all about preserving that business relationship. But I heard the other day about somebody who, precisely that situation, and who said, I've got this big contract with an online retailer. This is absolutely fantastic. But what it said in the contract that they didn't realise was that if you send me these 100 pieces of goods and I only sell 50 of them, I'm going to send you the other 50 back and you're not going to get paid for them. Now, if you're not getting paid for something, you're running a hobby, you're not actually running a business. And so that's a really difficult position to be in because you don't know what to decide to do for the best.
Sure.
You know, how am I going to get paid for the work that I'm doing and feed the family? And it gets as basic as that sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same syndrome as the tech giants with their terms of service. I don't think anyone's ever read the terms of service of anything that they've signed up to. And I think to some extent, people don't read contracts either. You know, they're so pleased to get the work. They go, yep, signed. There you go.
Yes, but Paul, legalistic contracts with legalistic language are beyond most people's understanding. Yeah. And also, if we are using smartphones and laptops and things like that, all those pages of contracts are really difficult to follow on a smartphone.
Yeah.
I think we have got to get to the point where small businesses have the confidence to be able to say, look, I can't take this work on unless you can pay me in a certain time.
Yeah.
And a small business told me this the other day. On average, he was getting paid in 66 days. He got offered a piece of work. The payment terms were 120. He went back to the firm and said, I won't survive if you don't pay me for 4 months. Can you please pay me in 30 days? Mm. The company said, oh, really? They came back and said, look, we can't manage 30 because our processes are, they take slightly longer than 30. What about 45? Mm. And he said, yes, I can accept 45. But now he says, because he's done it once, he went back to all his customers and now he gets paid on average 23 days.
Absolutely.
So of course it's, so sometimes it's just about that, having that confidence to think, no, I can push back here. Actually, customers in the main want to pay you on time.
Yeah.
It's a myth that they don't want to pay you, but quite often the processes are just so long that it goes back to Mr. McCobber and his ledger.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you get the old, sorry, you missed the monthly payroll run or monthly payment run.
And it's in the post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Checks in the post, that one. At least we've overcome that these days for the most part. Yeah.
I hope.
Not always, but a lot of the time. It's interesting, though, isn't it? And just extending that, again, one of the things that people are really poor at, and it's based on fear, is credit control. We hear this a lot in our businesses. I employ someone full-time as a credit controller in our businesses, and their job is to chase up late payment or missing payments in the nicest possible way, but without being fobbed off. Yeah. And that's really what we need to do. But so many people are scared of doing that, of ringing up and going, well, I don't want to antagonize them by asking for my money. Really? Why are you doing business with them even?
Yeah, but that is the fundamental. It goes back to that point. A woman phoned me up a couple of weeks ago. She said, I had an agreement to be paid in 14 days. She said, I did the work, put the invoice in, and now the payment department tells me they're going to pay in 90 days. And I said, well, that's what we're here for, and we can help you with that. Mm. And she said, no, I don't want you to help me with that. I said, why? She said, because there'll be more work and I don't want to lose it. Yeah. So it is that fear of the business relationship. Mm. But, you know, we are there to help. If you have tried to chase up a payment and you've not been successful and it is late or it's, you know, you think you're not going to get paid at all, we will try to help you with that. Yeah. That is part of what our dispute resolution service is there for. If you just go online and look for Small Business Commissioner, mm. we'll pop up.
It's interesting, isn't it? Many years ago in one of my main business, we had very small transaction costs of each thing. Yeah. And we suffered a lot from bad debts. And a lot of people didn't pay on the grounds of, well, there's not much you can do about it because the debt was less than it would actually cost to go to a county court to get the, you know. So one of the things I did early on is I insisted on payment up front. Now, you can't, I realize, you know, a lot of people can't do that, but there are times, you know, and I'm really hard on that. I go, well, you pay, you can do it, you know, and they go, well, I don't want to pay. Our payment terms are X. I go, fine, well, don't advertise with us. You know, that's fair enough. Our terms are you pay in advance.
But again, Paul, it comes back to that fear of losing the work. You've got experienced enough and you're belligerent enough.
Big enough and ugly enough. Yeah.
But that takes a lot of guts to be able to say that. Yeah. I do think that if you were spending money up front, you know, I quite often have to call in a crew, for instance, to film something. So I need to pay them. I need to pay them straight away if I possibly can. Mm. But would be very hard for me to get the client to pay me up front for that. Mm. But if you have to pay because you've got to go to one of the big retailers and buy all sorts of tools and equipment and materials, then you can't afford to sit on that until, you know, 3 months down the line. And I think it's perfectly justifiable to say, I need the cost of the materials up front. I need half of this up front because I'm paying out. So, you know, and I've got to pay my workers that I've got to hire in. Yeah. So do think about what is it that will make your business run better. Absolutely. And then try to negotiate. What's the worst that can happen? They can say no. Mm. And then you have to think, okay, stand back. Do I go ahead with this piece of work or not? But don't forget, you've got really good skills that you're selling that your customer wants. And if your customer doesn't get that supply from you, then the customer's going to have the costs of going out and looking for a new supplier as well. Yeah. And the customer doesn't want that. So build the relationship as best as you possibly can so they want to keep coming back to you. And also, if you have a really good relationship with the payment department, then they'll want to pay you on a Friday before they go off for the weekend.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's something that a lot of people, especially dealing with slightly larger companies, that they don't realise. You know, when they talk to the payments department, they're not talking to the client, really. And the client would never know. And most clients, if you said to them, look, your payments department haven't paid me for, they go bonkers.
And that happens. But you need to ask, you know, exactly. Who do I send the invoice to? It's not going to be the person who's hired you necessarily. But I also think that in big companies, and this is what I am thinking about that I need to work on, I also think the chair of the board doesn't know what the payment processes are within the company. So it would be really useful to get to talk to the boards at board level and say, do you know that lots of your small suppliers are not getting paid for 120 days? Yeah. I think there might be a sharp intake of breath and somebody might be calling the chief financial officer and saying, you know, are our processes fair?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that should be a metric that the companies measure as part of their corporate social responsibility that says, how do we pay? Yeah.
This is exactly what I'm trying to say, Paul. I think it's part of the, you know, the ESG obligations. So the environment, social and governance obligations.
Yeah.
I think it should be a measure there. But I also think that investors want to know, are you paying your small firms fairly, your small suppliers fairly, because otherwise I don't want to invest with you. Yeah. Or what about young people coming out of universities wanting to work with really good businesses?
Yeah.
What they should be asking in their interview is, what are your payment terms to your small businesses? Yeah. Because the chances are, if they're not treating the small suppliers fairly, they're not going to treat you as an employee fairly.
Or their customers. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I don't really want to finish on a negative note, but I just want to get your feelings about this. Obviously, as we start to unwind, hopefully, from lockdowns and all the other things that we've had to have over the last 18 months, an awful lot of small businesses are really going to come right up against cash flow issues for all kinds of reasons, not least of which a lot of them have incurred debts with government loans and offsetting VAT payments, offsetting corporation tax payments. And all of those are going to start becoming due at a time when they probably haven't been doing a lot of business. So cash flow is going to become epic, in my opinion, over the next 6 months or so, and will cause a lot of grief for a lot of very small businesses. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on that, Liz.
I do, and I'm as worried as you are. And I think organizations like Business Debtline that help businesses, you know, the charity that helps businesses who are in debt, are really beginning to see this filtering through.
Yeah.
I think the banks are worried about it because they know that lots of their clients have taken on loans, etc., that they may be in a difficult position to pay back.
Yep.
There is, of course, the pay-as-you-grow scheme, so that you can extend the period of the payments. But, you know, if you lump all of that in together with maybe rent arrears and business tax arrears, business rates arrears, etc., then there's a perfect storm coming. But another thing that worries me slightly is that there are a lot of small businesses who've never borrowed before. It's not in their ethos, and for the first time they've borrowed a bounce back loan or something of that sort, hoping never to have to dip into it so that they could pay it back intact. But over the last few months, they've had to start drawing down on it in order to rebuild. So they are worried about that. But what happens if business were to dip again? And we're already seeing the supply chain situation causing lack of supplies in the shops, lack of drivers, lack of lack of all sorts of things. That's meaning that lots of people don't have the things that they would normally have to sell and do business with. So it's not just the piled up debts, it's the possibility of future debt or future inability to do business that I think could create a perfect storm. And I don't want to start, I don't want to be ending on a negative either. But, you know, please, if you do need help, then ask us about payments, ask Business Debtline. If you're in debt, talk to your banks, talk to everybody. And I think there is a feeling right around the financial sector that we have to do as much as we possibly can to keep small businesses operating.
I think that's the main message that I, as a small business owner, would send back to government, is that it's in your interest to help us manage this, because it's very easy for people to go, do you know what, I'm just going to fold. I'm going to fold, wipe off the debt and go and sit in a corner for a while and then think of doing something else longer term. That's not going to be good
and
for
I
the
think,
economy.
And I think government is well aware of that too, because that ultimately the Chancellor is going to miss out on the chance of getting that money into the tax system,
absolutely,
of course.
Yeah.
You know, if small businesses go bust. But it's not just that. The big businesses are dependent on the small suppliers for, it might be widgets, but it could be skills. It could be ideas. It could be small businesses and freelancers willing to take the risks and willing to come up with the new ideas that drive the recovery. And I've always said those small businesses, the very smallest ones, the freelancers, the sole traders, the micro businesses, are the ones that drive recovery. So we can't afford to do without them.
Absolutely. Liz, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending the time to talk to us. We wish you much success in your role as Small Business Commissioner, and we feel for you this time with all with all the hassle that you're going to have to deal with over the coming months, but I'm sure you're more than up to it.
Paul, I'm absolutely passionate about small businesses. And if anybody, any of your small business listeners wants to tell us what their experience is, then please, I really, through you, would like to hear from those businesses.
Right.
Because we need to know what's going on, what's really going on at the coalface. So thank you very much for inviting me.
No, it's a pleasure. What we will do is we'll put the website link for the Small Business Commissioner's Office on the radio website so that people can find contact details, find information, and if they want to contact you, they will be able to. Liz Barclay, Small Business Commissioner, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.